Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. That gets me started. I'm already started. I hadn't even got started yet. Matt, I'm mad. I'm gonna just like you, buddy. Hadn't even got started yet. Here I go. Everybody have a good week this week? You have a thankful week? You have a lot to be thankful for? I think we all do. I do. Because every morning I get up, I sing to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Lord, for giving to me that great salvation, so rich and free. Because you see, whenever you wake up and your chest has been cut open and you got three drainage tubes coming out and wires coming out of your chest, needles in your arms, patches on your legs and on your neck, and you realize what's happened, then you find out that the doctor botched your surgery. And you're lucky to be alive because you're on the operating table for twice as long as you should be. Your family's worried to death. So every day it's a gift. And therefore I am thankful. Did you have a blessed week? Who's been blessed this week? Well, I'll leave you. No. Don't put your hands down. You're all blessed, whether you raise your hand or not. You know why? It's because you're here. Because you're in church. Because you got out of bed this morning. A lot of people can't. A lot of people are confined to their beds, to a wheelchair or whatever. You had food to eat. And besides that, you got to come and be in the Lord's house. That's how you're blessed. And you got church family here. We are family. Are we not? We're family. We share things together. We share our lives. We share our family. We share our grandchildren, our children. Share our produce from our garden. But most of all, we as a church family, we pray for each other. Because we all want to see each other in heaven. Because heaven is our goal. And that's what our topic is for today. Let's bow our heads before we start. Heavenly Father, come to you today humbly asking you to open our ears and our eyes that we may hear what it is that you have to say to us. May it be your words and not mine. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Heaven bound. I decided I'd look up the word heaven just to see what the definition was. I didn't particularly like what the dictionaries had to say about heaven, so I decided to look elsewhere. God called the firmament heaven. In the Hebrew, as well as in the modern translation, the word heaven is given name given to both the abode of God and to the firmament. In Genesis 1, verse 8, heaven refers to the atmospheric heavens that appear to the human eye as a canopy or dome vaulting over earth and generally called what we call sky. In the Bible commentary under volume 7, under the word heaven, it refers to it as the kingdom of God. You know, there have been movies written about heaven. Actually, I think the latest one is Heaven is for Real. I haven't seen it. Television programs about heaven. You remember the one called Highway to Heaven, I think it was? And there have been jokes about people going to heaven, and I don't consider heaven a joke. It can't matter myself. There are songs popular songs. You know the ones where the guy's singing about being in his woman's arms and about how it feels like heaven to him. Do you think that any of these really portray what we know about heaven? There was a religious group back in the early 70s called Heaven's Gate. Some of you may remember that. Based in San Diego, California, and founded by Marshall Applewhite and Bonnie Nettles. On March the 26th, 1997, police discovered the bodies of 39 members of the group who had committed suicide in order to reach what they believed was an alien spacecraft following the comet Hale-Bopp. And here's how it all got started. It seemed that Applewhite was recovering from a heart attack in which he claimed he had a near-death experience. Bonnie Nettles was his nurse, and he believed that they were the two witnesses spoken of in Revelation 11:3. Revelation 11:3, and I will give power unto that my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So I thought, well, you know, I want a little bit better understanding of that. So I looked it up in the SDA Bible commentary under that particular verse. Under my two witnesses. It says a variety of interpretations of this symbol have been proposed. The allusion of verse 5 and 6 have led some to identify these witnesses as Elijah and Moses. But the significance of these two witnesses goes beyond this. In verse 4, they are identified as two olive trees, two candlesticks, symbols drawn from Zechariah 4, 1 through 6. There they are said to represent the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth, as the olive branches are portrayed, furnishing oil for the lamps of the sanctuary. So from these holy ones before the throne of God, the Holy Spirit is imparted to men. See Zechariah 4, 6. Inasmuch as the fullest expression of the Holy Spirit to men is contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament, they may be considered to be the two witnesses. And it's also confirmed in the Great Controversy on page 267. Concerning the two witnesses, she says, the prophet declares furthermore that these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of earth. Thy word, said the psalmist, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Revelation 11:4. The two witnesses represent the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Both are important testimonies to the origin and perpetuity of the law of God. Both are witnesses also to the plan of salvation. Heaven's Gate members believed that the planet Earth was about to be recycled, wiped clean, renewed, refurbished, rejuvenated, and the only chance for them to survive was to leave it immediately. The group believed in several paths for a person to leave the earth and survive before the recycling. It is also possible that part of their test of faith is their loving of this world, even their fleshly bodies, to the extent that they were willing to leave it without any proof of the next level's existence. They believed to be eligible for the membership to the next levels, humans had to shed every attachment to the planet Earth. This meant that all members had to give up all human-like characteristics, such as their family, friends, sexuality, individuality, jobs, money, and possessions. Group members gave up their material possessions and lived a highly self-denial life, devoid of many indulgences. The group was tightly knit, and everything was a shared community. Eight of the male members, including Applewhite, voluntarily underwent surgery in Mexico to become eunuchs, as part of an extreme means of maintaining their self-denial lifestyle. Applewhite and Nettles took part of this concept and taught it as a belief that aliens planted seeds of current humanity millions of years ago and have come to reap the harvest of their work in the form of spiritually evolved individuals who would join the ranks of flying saucer crews. And only a select few of members of humanity will be chosen to advance to this transhuman state, and the rest would be left to wallow in the spiritual poisoned atmosphere of this corrupt world. Only the individuals who chose to join Heaven's Gate and follow Applewhite and Nettles' belief and make the sacrifices required by membership would be allowed to escape the human suffering. They even purchased, 6 months prior to that, they had even purchased alien abduction insurance for 50 of the members at a cost of $10,000. In the end, the members took phenobarbital mixed with applesauce, washed down with vodka. Others had taken cyanide and arsenic. Additionally, they had secured plastic bags around their heads after ingesting the mixture to induce asphyxiation. Authorities found their bodies dead, lying neatly in their own bunk beds, faces and torsos covered by a square purple cloth. Each member carried a $5 bill in 3/4. That was said to be for interplanetary toll, you know, wrote on the way. So. All were dressed in identical black shirts, sweatpants, and brand new black and white Nike tennis shoes, and armbands reading Heaven's Gate Away Team. What a waste of human life. Think if they had only read the Bible and studied it. You know, we are fortunate in that we have an insight on what heaven is really like. If you've ever read the book Early Writings, you know what Ellen White's first vision was. What was it? It's heaven. I'm just going to read you some brief excerpts from, if that's okay, from her first vision here in Early Writings. She was at the family altar whenever she was taken up in vision. She says she got there, she saw the tree of life and the throne of God. Out of the throne came a pure river of water, and on either side of the river was the tree of life. On one side of the river was a trunk of a tree and a trunk on the other side of the river, both of pure transparent gold. At first, I thought I saw two trees. I looked again and saw that they were united at the top in one tree. So it was the tree of life on either side of the river of life. Its branches bowed to the place where we stood, and the fruit was glorious. It looked like gold mixed with silver. She says, then we looked and saw the great city, 12 foundations and 12 gates, 3 on each side and an angel at each gate. And we cried out, the city, the great city, it's coming down from God out of heaven. And it came and settled on the place where we stood. Then we began to look at the glorious things outside of the city. There I saw glorious houses that had the appearance of silver, supported by 4 pillars set with pearls, most glorious to behold. These were to be inhabited by the saints. In each house was a golden shelf, and I saw many of the saints go into the houses, take off their glittering crowns, and lay them on the shelf. Then go out into the field by the houses to do something with the earth. Not as we think it would do with earth. No, no. A glorious light shone about their heads, and they were continually shouting and offering praises to God. She saw the temple. The temple was supported by 7 pillars, all of transparent gold set with pearls, most glorious. All this silver and gold, man, that's just got to be just, I mean, if you've ever seen gold or silver polished up, it just, the wonderful things I saw I could not describe. Oh, that I could talk in the language of Canaan. Then I could tell a little story of the glory of the better world. I saw there are tables of stone in which the names of 144,000 were engraved in letters of gold. After we beheld the glory of the temple, we went out, and Jesus came and left us and went to the city. Soon we heard his lovely voice saying, come up, people, you have come out of great tribulation and done my will, suffered for me. Come in to supper, for I will gird myself and serve you. We shouted, Alleluia, Gloria, glory, and entered into the city, and I saw a table of pure silver. It was many miles in length, but yet the eyes could extend all the way over it. I saw the fruit of the tree of life, the manna, the almonds, the figs, pomegranates, grapes, and many other kinds of fruit. And I asked Jesus to let me eat of the fruit. He said, no, not now. For those who eat of the fruit, this land cannot go back to earth anymore. But in a little while, if you're faithful, you shall both eat of the fruit of the tree of life and drink of the water of the fountain. He said, you must go back to earth again and relate to others what I have revealed to you. Then an angel bore me down gently to this dark world. Sometimes I think I can stay here no longer. All things of earth look so dreary. I feel very lonely here, for I have seen a better land. Oh, if I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. And she says, after I came out of vision, everything looked changed. A gloom seemed to spread all over all that I beheld. Oh, how dark this world looked to me. I wept when I found myself here, and I felt homesick for heaven. Are you homesick for heaven, my friends? Well, I want you to be faithful. And here are 10 good reasons why we need to stay faithful so that we can all be in heaven. Number one, we get a new body, better one, one that doesn't feel tired and ache with all the pain, sickness, sag, and fall out. We get to live in a custom-built home. And we get to eat great food. We get to talk to Bible characters. Moses, Noah, Daniel. We get to see some of our loved ones who have died. And we get to live in a perfect world. Living in this old world sometimes gets you down, doesn't it? And there'll be no more no mores. No more hunger, thirst, scorching heat. No more tears, no more death, no more crying. No pain, no bad guys, no impure things. Think of the things that really get you down in life. And they will be no more. It'll also be the last time we fall. Remember what Paul said? Romans 7:15? I do the things that I don't do. And, you know. You ever feel like Paul? I do. Yes, I know that I'm saved by grace through faith. And I know that his blood can and does wash away every stain of sin. Nevertheless, I still get tired of failing and falling. Do you? For you see, in heaven we will fall for the last time. And then it will not be a fall of failure or sin. Because we will never do that again. For the last time you and I fall, it will be when we fall at the feet of Jesus on our knees and worship him as our Savior. We will take part in an awesome worship service too. You can read about it in Revelation 5:11-14. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. And all the smiling faces lift their hands and worship God. And last but not least, we get to see God. So in closing, my friends, I just want to say to you that if we don't stand firm in the faith, we can't stand at all. Our road to a faithful life may not be straight. It may have some curves, confusion, enemies. But we need determination, perseverance, insurance called faith, and a driver named Jesus leading the way.